We have a number of people just joining in now, and I wanted to mention on the there's a print icon in the lower right-hand corner of the screen. You can print out the slides for today. I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. I'm really excited about this program. The title is Advanced Sourcing, Getting Top Talent Through Social Network Recruiting. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. We'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into the program. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, to help keep organizations off the rocks of potential self-destruction. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar, and we assist sales and marketing operations to avoid getting stuck in shallow waters so they have smooth sailing. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations, and if you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track Open Line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. You also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas you'll want to consider and implement and discuss with your team and trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Barry Deutsch, who's a longtime friend and business colleague. I love working with Barry. He has great ideas, and you're just going to be floored by today. Barry is a well-known thought leader in hiring and peak performance management. He is a frequent and sought-after speaker for management meetings, trade associations, CEO forums such as Vistas International, Renaissance Executive Forum. Vistas was formerly known as Tech and is a worldwide CEO membership organization with more than 15,000 CEOs and senior executives. Many of his clients view him as their virtual chief talent officer. Vistas International has named Barry Impact Speaker of the Year, and Barry is also frequently asked to present Impact Hiring Solutions, the award-winning programs on hiring, retention, and motivating top talent and leveraging vast knowledge base of over 25 years in the executive search field. And with a track record of successful placements in multi-million dollar Fortune 100 companies, entrepreneurial firms, and middle market high growth businesses. He has worked closely with thousands of CEOs and key executives to help improve the hiring success, to leverage human capital, and to raise the hiring bar on talent acquisition. Barry earned his BA and MA from American University in Washington, D.C., and prior to his executive search career, Barry held positions of responsibility in finance and general management with Mattel, Beatrice Foods, and Westinghouse Cable. I feel privileged, actually, and honored to have Barry with us today and to share ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program, and the topic will be Listening is More Powerful Than Speaking, Turning Your Ears into Powerful Tools to Impact the Action of Others. Barry, welcome, and thank you for being with us today.
Dana, thank you very much. I appreciate that introduction. So everybody's saying you should be on social media. Everybody's saying you should have a LinkedIn account, should be on Twitter, Facebook, and many companies are struggling to figure out how do they use these tools, what do they use them for. There's a great fear factor of is there enough of a return on investment from doing these things, and I'll suggest that one of the greatest returns on investment, one of the greatest paybacks, is to use social media tools to recruit. That's an immediate payback. If you can find a great candidate quickly, easily, inexpensively, and bring them, you know, a passive candidate that's not aggressively looking for a job, you just justified your investment, and you can do this at every level in the organization, whether you're looking at hiring entry-level folks or you're hiring senior-level executives. Obviously, the tactics will be different, but you can use the tools. And this may be a great way to begin your introduction, begin your leverage of using some of these social media tools is by practicing using them in the recruiting field as you're trying to hire people. And again, I guess I should mention is it's one tool. I mean, there are other tools. You could general advertising, employee referrals, job fairs. It's an effective tool. It's gaining more and more credibility. More and more candidates, particularly of the post-baby boomer generations, are starting to use these tools. And so what we've designed here is a, you know, 45-minute talk on some of the key issues around using these tools, implementing these tools, steps you can go through, tactics you might want to be able to use. If anyone's interested, they're welcome to follow up with me, and I'll give you more insight or show you the actual live approach of how to put some of these things in place. But let's build kind of a framework for this, and with that, I'm going to advance to the next slide. And let's jump right into it and talk about what I like to term the social recruiting circle of life. And if you can imagine four different elements around a circle, you just want to keep repeating these. Rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. So, number one, I recommend to my clients when they're looking to source candidates or find candidates, you start with the least expensive approach and the least time-consuming approach. So that approach is broadcasting your job. In recruiting circles, we call that high volume, low touch. And we want to do things that are beyond the traditional approach of sticking the job description up there, because that's a worthless exercise. That's where we get the, as I mentioned earlier in our remarks, when Dana and I were chatting, that's where we get the bottom third of the candidate pool. I'm going to elaborate upon that. Step two is we want to start to create talent pools and track these pools, whether they're engineers, they're hosts and hostesses in a restaurant sector, they're factory workers, they're inventory control analysts, they're senior programmers, whatever the job is. We want to create these pools of talent, whether we connect to them through Facebook, Twitter, Google+, we have them in you know, a LinkedIn bucket, we have them in an email program, an applicant tracking system. We want to create different pools and then publish and push content to those talent pools. We want to stay at the forefront of their thinking. The moment folks in that group start to decide to look, start to think of friends that have said they're looking, we want those referrals to come through us. We want their hands to go up in the air. Because 30 seconds when they, you know, after they apply, 2 years later they've forgotten who you are or what opportunities you might have. And so we want to keep nurturing and building and developing those pools by publishing to them. Step three around that circle is if we're not attracting candidates through those first two techniques, then we want to start to target specific candidates. Now, this becomes a little more time-consuming. There's no charge to do this other than the time involved, but there's some very specific and easy things you could do to go after specific people who have the skill set, knowledge, they're in the geography you're looking for, they're in direct competitors, and we're going to talk about how you can easily target these folks both personally and through your network of employees. And then finally, as you bring these candidates to the table that apply to your ads, you're pushing content, they're referring their friends, you're targeting specific people, you want to continue to nurture those relationships. You want to start to winnow that pool to, okay, we've got 300 people in this talent pool. Who are the top five? Let me start talking to those top five. Let me interact with them. Let me buy one of those people a cup of coffee so that the next time you have an opening, it's not recreating the wheel from scratch. It's not that desperation piece where, oh, God, we've got to get someone in place in 2 weeks. It's you already know who the very best are. Now you just have to reach out to those five or six people. This is what I like to term when I give my presentations, just-in-time recruiting. Having the pool available when you need it, not having to go out and create it from scratch. The process of trying to hire top talent and doing it quickly is inconsistent. You cannot hire top talent on a rapid basis. When you're trying to hire rapidly, you end up taking whoever shows up at your doorstep and picking the tallest pygmy from that group and crossing your fingers, hoping to make it through the 90-day probationary period. Wouldn't a better approach be you already know who the best talent is, so all you got to do is to reach into that small group? Now, that takes a couple of years to develop and put programs and systems and infrastructure in place to do it. But here's the question I'd like you to think about as we cycle through our program today. When's the right time to start? I'll give you another example. Effectively leveraging social media, understanding how to use these tools, use them on an efficient basis so you don't waste any time, is about a 2 to 3 year learning cycle. It takes about that long to figure it out, grasp it, You can read all you want. You can do all the work you want. You can hire consultants. But to really master some of these things, it's about a 2 to 3 year cycle. So again, the question comes up, should we start now or should we wait until the train has left the station to begin when all our competitors are using these tools? I'd like you to be thinking about that as we cycle through our program is, when should you start to put these things in place? Let's go to the next slide. All right. Before I launch into the what I'll call the specific tools and techniques, what I'd like to do is take just a few minutes and talk about what motivates top talent. Why do they leave their jobs? Why do they go to new jobs? And it's critical to understand this so you recognize what groups to go after, how to approach those folks, and the words and phrases and techniques of how to get to them. All right. The number one thing that motivates top talent is opportunity. We can define opportunity in three ways. What am I going to learn in this job? What kind of impact will I have? And what will I become for having been in this job? Learning, impact, and becoming. This is nothing different than what Abraham Maslow, who wrote The Hierarchy of Needs, y'all remember that if you've ever taken a basic management class, back in the 40s and 50s. I can't remember the exact date, but it was, you know, more than half a century ago. Now you're wondering, well, you know, why do we care about someone who wrote something that far back? Because the reality is, no one today, not one management author, has ever come up with a better approach to describe what top talent needs in their job. As you'll remember, Maslow used the hierarchy to convey his theory, his model. He talked about you got to check off all those basic needs of housing, shelter, food, security. And then he said top talent gets to the top of this pyramid, and he called it self-actualization. What is self-actualization? It's you want to be respected, you want to be stimulated, you want to be turned on, engaged, you want to be feeling like your comments, your ideas, your recommendations, the things you do are respected, they're valued, you're having an impact. We take a little variation on what Maslow called the self-actualization, and we call it the LIB curve. Now, let me step back for a minute. So if the number one issue is I want to learn, I want to become, I want to have an impact, there's a number of candidates out there who are not feeling that way. What do you think the average percentage is of your workforce right now? Let me even be broader than that. Let's say in the month of June. In the month of June that will go online and try to see if the grass is greener somewhere else. What percentage of your entire workforce will do this? The average is around 50%. 50% of your workforce in a given month will go online to one of the job boards, social media sites like LinkedIn, and try to see if the grass is greener somewhere else. When are they doing it? They're doing it on your watch. Studies show that the job board's peak demand does not occur early in the morning, late at night, on the weekend. It's smack dab in the middle of the employer workday. The most popular websites to visit on your watch are not shopping sites, social media, and porn. It's job boards and you know, LinkedIn jobs and those kind of things. That's where your people are going. You do realize you can check this out. You can go into your IT administrator's office, and every website your employees go to is recorded in the system. Here's my suggestion. Tomorrow, when you go back, or this afternoon, walk into your IT administrator's office, turn off access to Monster.com, Hot Jobs, Craigslist, Ladders, Career Builder. If someone wants to go and look for a job, make them do it on their own watch. So now they go into their browser, their boss has just ticked them off. That's when most people do this. You know, your boss pisses you off. You go back to your office, click, send out 7 resumes through Monster.com. Now they go back, they log into Monster.com, the whole screen goes pink, little message pops up in the middle, thanks for looking for a job while you're at the office today, the CEO will be by to talk to you later. Don't really do that, or at least if you're going to do it, don't tell people Barry Deutsch suggested it. Or if you do that, at least check with a labor law attorney before you do it. Oh, here's the next idea. For those you'd like to leave, leave their access on. Oh, no, that's really rude, isn't it? Wait, let's go one step further. For the ones you'd really like to leave, make it their homepage. No, I didn't really say that, did I? I'm just kidding. Okay, back to the LIB curve. So let's imagine this. So let's say I work for Dana, and I want to be on an upward curve of learning, impact, and becoming. Okay, I don't know what the shape of that curve is, but it's obviously going up over time. Now, I've been working for Dana for 6 months. I've reached a point at which I'm not learning anything new in my job. It feels like make work, busy work. I don't feel I'm having any significant impact on what my team, department, function does. And I'm no better off as a professional today in terms of my skill set and my knowledge than I was when I first started working for Dana. If I'm a top talent person, top quartile individual, in this digital age, what will I do at that point when my curve flattens out and starts to decline? I'll go online, and I'll try to see if the grass is greener somewhere else. And I'm going to suggest that studies show at least 50% of your employees are doing this on average on a monthly basis. And if you're in a tech field like architecture, engineering, IT, that number can be up at mercenary levels. Now, let me layer a couple of historical trends on this and why this becomes so important. First, we have one of the lowest levels of employee satisfaction in most companies since the Great Depression. About 6 or so months ago, the Conference Board published a report that said employee satisfaction had declined to Depression era level. There are you can't but go onto the internet today and not see a new study that has popped out on a weekly basis that says something like 78% of all employees are dissatisfied with their job. 93% of people are going to be looking for a new job in 2012, and on the studies and headlines go. So is it any wonder why so many people are seeking greener pastures? But what's the dominant reason for that? They're bored out of their mind. They're not engaged. They're not turned on. They're not excited. They don't feel they're having an impact. They're not becoming something better. Now, we could spend an entire program. Oops, Dana actually suggested that earlier, didn't he? That we do a program on how to retain your best people. But that's beyond the scope of what we're going to talk about today. I'll leave you with one thought. If you don't have structured, specific, detailed retention programs in place, you just hope that your employees like their job because they show up for work every day, I guarantee it over the next 6 months you're going to find some of your best talent walking in and saying, I'm resigning today and going to join one of our key competitors. So if you want to keep your very best people, you got to put some programs in place. And hopefully before that starts to happen, Dana and I will cycle back with a program on retention. Right, Dana?
That would be a great program. And as a matter of fact, we're starting to see that. I'm hearing that from our clients, that people are leaving. They, like you said, somebody gets mad, they're not engaged, and they go right to the competitors. Hey, Barry, somebody had a question. What does LIB stand for?
Stands for Learning, Impact, and Becoming.
Okay, thank you.
Those are the three key things of how we define opportunity, and we call it the LIB curve.
Okay. And for those of you guys who are going through the program today, if you have questions, please throw them onto the chat box, and then later on we're going to open the line so you can talk directly with Barry.
Okay, so next issue is, where do candidates come from? This is like where's Waldo, right? Where do candidates come from? And they come from four groups. First, you have the aggressive candidate. This is the one who's desperate to get out of where they are. They may have been out of work for a very long time. They're shotgunning their resume based on keyword selection, and sometimes you wonder where they even found these keywords. This is mostly what you get when you run ads. You get an overwhelming number of candidates. Like I said earlier in our little chat, you run an internet ad, you get 300 responses. 298, you can't figure out what keyword did they possibly click on. Two in the group were actually pretty good, but they were so good they went on and off the market in the blink of an eye. Now 3 weeks later, you're looking at the ad response, and you're looking at everybody else's rejects, retreads, toxic, dysfunctional individuals. And you realize at the end of that, you don't have anybody you can hire. So then what do? Then you rerun your ad. What kind of candidates do you get the second time you rerun the same ad? Yep, you got it, the same group. Now this might sound comical. To me, it actually sounds sad. And it is the classic definition of what, Einstein or Benjamin Franklin called, they're both commonly attributed to this, the definition of insanity. We keep doing the same things over and over, hoping we're going to get better results. At some point, we've got to change what we're doing to get better candidates. All right, group two. We call these the selective candidates. These are the ones that are open to a better opportunity. They're frustrated. Their opportunity has declined in their current company. They're not learning, having the level of impact, or becoming what they want to be. And so they tell some of their friends they're looking. They go on to the job boards occasionally. They're working on social media to see if there's new opportunities. But the key word is in the title of this group. They're selective. So if you're trying to hire a controller, and there's 100 controllers open at any point in time in Des Moines, Iowa, or you know, New York City, or Atlanta, Georgia, wherever the location is you're based, these people may only apply to one or two openings. It's got to be extremely compelling for them to raise their hand, throw their hat into the ring. This is the group that's the better performers. This is the group we want to put their hand up in the air. Unfortunately, not only do we tend to attract the bottom third of the candidate pool, but when we try to go after this group and we post job descriptions or modify job descriptions as our characterization of what we're looking for, this group gets disgusted by that and turned off, and they put their hand down. So you never even get to see these people. We're going to come at that point in just a moment. The third group is what we call the non-candidate. This is the person who never intended to take your job from the moment they raised their hand. They're using your job opportunity and interview to get a better deal where they currently are, find out what they're worth, leverage you against another opportunity they're evaluating. And we want to exclude these folks early in the process. I mean, we could spend a whole hour just talking about how to determine, is this a real live candidate or are they just kicking tires? Fourth group, we call the sleeper candidate. This is the person that would be open to a better opportunity if someone reached out to them on a one-to-one basis, like moi, an executive recruiter, and pitched the job or raised the opportunity with them. They're not answering job ads. They're not even looking at the job boards. They're not telling their friends they're looking. They got their nose down, and they're working hard. Now, unfortunately, that group's really hard to go after. That group, when you're hiring a high-level professional, a manager or executive, can be 80 to 100 hours worth of work. This group doesn't have a resume prepared. They're not even thinking of leaving their current company directly or soon. Sometimes you have to go through this group. Sometimes you have to pay the recruiter fee. Sometimes you have to wait 4 to 6 months to be able to get them. But I'm going to suggest the real sweet spot for almost every company I've ever worked with is going after the selective candidates. That's the top quartile performers. Those are the people who are the change agents in your business, and they're very easy and simple to get to. Let's talk about how we get to those folks. The first step is to describe work in more compelling terms. Okay? Whether you're using advertising, you're placing ads in the paper, you're sending this out through networking, you're using social media, you'll notice I don't call this an ad. I call it a compelling marketing statement. And it has four key components. And it is the basis for the communication, the positioning of how you're going to tell people about your opportunity. Four key pieces. The first is a headline that grabs people. This is copywriting 101. If you're not grabbed by the headline, it doesn't matter what you wrote below it, nobody's going to read it. So you got to grab people. You got to stand out from the clutter. You got to hit people with a brick between the eyes, because when are they looking at this stuff? Well, they're looking at it at the office, right? They're multitasking. They're doing seven other things. You want to smack them right between the eyes with a brick and say, stop whatever you're doing. Put your pencil down. Something really special's here. So instead of calling the job human resource manager, maybe you should call it chief talent officer or chief selection officer. Instead of calling the front desk receptionist, maybe we should call that chief greeter, director of first impressions. That's not the real job title, although many of my clients actually like those titles. That's what we're using for marketing. So we got to break this mold of, you know, posting job descriptions and hoping we get good people that fall into our lap that's been going on since Henry Ford started cranking out Model Ts. We've got to put a marketing hat on. We got to think like a candidate to be able to bring the very best people to us.
So whether it's a salesperson or customer service or CNC operator, got to get their head wrapped around that for social media.
You're exactly right, Dana.
Okay.
So the next step is then a challenging question. What is it at a deep, emotional, gut-wrenching level, the reason why someone would leave their current job and come to work for you in your job? One question that suddenly causes them to perk up and take notice. So, for example, let's say Bob is looking to hire a controller. Come back to my controller example. And he wants someone who's more than your typical green eye shade account. He'd like someone who's going to do budgeting and forecasting and maybe some customer profitability analysis and business studies. So what he would write would go something like this. Tired of being relegated to nothing more than a back office function? Now controllers, financial professionals are going to look at that and go, oh, that's what I've been looking for all these years. Okay, they want to be more business oriented. What is that gut-wrenching reason they're going to come forward to you? Number three, we want to describe the vision of where you're trying to get to. Most studies show that one of the most important elements to the post-baby boomer generation, the millennials, the nexters, Gen Y, Gen X, is they want to know, what's the vision of the organization I'm joining, and how am I going to help that vision get achieved? And if you can't describe it, they take their hand and put it down. Because they're not just interested in joining a company. They want to be part of something. So most job ads that we look at, if they even get past the posting of the job description format, might have a paragraph about, here's where we've come from, here's where we are today. But I can't remember ever, or I can't remember the last time, I've ever seen a marketing statement that talked about, here's where we're going. I'll give you an example. If I was to go one by one, by each person who's on this call, could every one of you describe in two or three pithy sentences the vision for your organization in two or three years? Is that hanging on a banner in your lobby? Is it on the back of your business cards? This is the unifying message by which people get excited about both working in your business and the way you attract people. And number four, perhaps most importantly, we want to put the success factors of what we want our expectations are for that role. That's the very first thing top talent will look at. They don't care, I'll say that again, they don't care what you want as an employer. Top talent doesn't care that you want three of this, four of that, five of this. We actually call that drill sergeant advertising. It's a complete turnoff. It's like being barked at, and they take their hand and put it down. They want to know, what am I going to get to do? What impact will I have? What will I become? What am I going to learn in this job? Now, many of you who may be familiar with our material, this, you know this is a central point of our entire process around hiring and retention. These things sound like, you'll reduce our closing process within 3 months by 50%. You'll help us increase our sales by building an independent rep channel in Europe over the next 12 months. You'll launch our proprietary new product line based on our unique RF patented trademark over the next 3 months that'll reach a multi-million dollar stage within the first year. What are they going to get to do? What kind of impact will they have? What will they become? And there are many examples of this on our website. In fact, let me just take a moment and give you a little commercial here. My partner Brad and I have created what we think is the world's largest collection of free, I'll say that again, free content on the web regarding hiring and retaining top talent. We have thousands of hours of content on our website. If you go to Impact Hiring Solutions, you click the Hiring Manager tab, you'll see another tab under there that says free resources. Brad and I have written a blog now for about 6 years. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of articles there on every element of hiring and retention. Brad and I have for years done a radio internet show, 50, 60 minutes in length. We've taken every one of those shows and posted it to our website. There are examples, illustrations, templates, assessments, case studies, and it's all available for free. So if you wonder, what does a good, compelling marketing statement look like, you can go to our website and download some of those. Okay, next piece. Now that we know how to develop a compelling marketing statement, what are some of the best practices in sourcing talent? So let's talk about this and how the process of social media integrates into each of these. The first piece, the first best practice is employee referrals. Your most viable mechanism to get great people is employee referrals. Your best people already know other great people. So one way that social media plays a role, and you'll see this in just a moment, is you can leverage each of your employees' networks on social media, whether they're on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, to leverage through them to get to the people that they know. And many of my clients have tremendous success of their employees taking the compelling marketing statement that you've developed, sending it out by email to their friends and buddies, sending it out, posting it on Facebook, putting it through their through Twitter, putting a link back to it on your website. It's unbelievable how well this works. Your minimum goal for attracting candidates through employee referrals, particularly using social media to get to them through your employees' networks, should be 50%. So from today forward, 50% of all your hires should be coming from some level of an employee, vendor, supplier, customer referral. Advertising. I still, even though I'm not real big on it, it's so darn cheap, $300-$400 for an ad, I suggest you place one on the main websites of LinkedIn, Craigslist, Career Builder, Monster. You only have to place it in one place, because if the candidate's actively looking, the selectives and the aggressives, they're going to see it. They go to all those sites, they'll see it in one place. So you don't have to spend money on all the different sites. The key is, put up your compelling marketing statement, not your job description, and leave it up for 2 weeks. If you haven't pulled the right group of candidates in 2 weeks, rip it down, completely redo it. Whatever you wrote wasn't compelling enough. And then finally, and this is where social media perhaps has its greatest impact, is what we call one degree of separation. This is where you're reaching out into different groups that your employees, your network belong to, and through one degree of separation, they're going to bring the right person to you. You're probably familiar with 6 degrees of separation. You know, we're all connected to Kevin Bacon through 6 levels. You can reach anybody on the planet through 6 referrals. That's BS. If you had to do that, you'd be dead before you ever got the job filled. You want to use 1 degree of separation. Okay. So now how do you start to do this through social media? Because you have to do those other basics first. You have to define success for the job. You got to write a compelling marketing statement. You got to understand where candidates come from. So the first piece, if you want to do effective social recruiting, is you got to have a decent applicant website. Most companies' websites are nothing more than a fancy brochure online. You got to have a page or two about why are your employees excited to be in your company? Do you have a place where people can, even if they don't have a resume, that they can submit their email and their name? Do you feature video of your current employees talking about how wonderful your company is and how much they like being there? So as you do start to do more and more on social media, that's the first place people go. And if all your company website is a nice fancy brochure, they're going to be turned off and not move through the process. Number two, you want to start to lock in your company name on all the major social media sites. You want to make sure you got a LinkedIn page that is your company name, not someone's private name. You want to make sure you've got a Twitter account that's a corporate account, a Facebook business page account. Even if you don't build these out, even if you don't fill them in right now, make sure you start to reserve these names if you don't have them locked in place. We want to have some kind of applicant tracking system. Whether it's as simple as an Excel spreadsheet or it's something fancy like and there's lots of these processes and systems out there, like a Salesforce.com where you're paying $80 to $100 a month to be able to track people, scan in resumes automatically, sort through that, send broadcast emails out to that group. So you got to have some kind of system in place, whether it's using an app, whether it's using Excel, or something that's a little fancier. Number four, you're probably going to want to have some kind of email broadcasting service like iContact or Constant Contact, MailChimp, AWeber, so that you can send group emails out to these different talent pools we were talking about earlier. You don't want to be sending hundreds of emails out using your domain name. You want to use a system that will ensure you're whitelisted with different ISPs. God forbid you get blacklisted because you're sending out spam. And these systems do a real good job of protecting you. You want to get all your employees involved. You want to turn recruiting into a corporate program where everybody's involved in it. It's not just an HR or recruiter function. To do that, you got to teach people how to use these tools. You got to bring in a trainer. You got to give them. You got to role model it. You got to put some process and policies in place. And then finally, I'm going to suggest you name a czar for social recruiting. If you're fortunate enough to be a large enough company, maybe you've got a VP of Human Resources. Maybe you've got a manager of recruiting. If not, one of your department heads or someone that has a real passion around this area, you got to appoint that person to be your point person on putting some of these tools and processes in place.
Barry, we have a question. Is using LinkedIn to post a position a good advertising vehicle?
I'm going to get to that right now.
Okay.
All right. So first step, high volume, low touch. We call this broadcasting. You want to put your job out there, because this is the first step, on the generic job boards like a CareerBuilder or a Monster, and then you want to look for a specialty job board. If you're trying to hire someone in human resources, you might put it up on the job board for SHRM, the Society for Human Resource Management. If you're trying to hire someone in supply chain and logistics, you'd use the International Logistics Society as their job board. If you're trying to hire someone in production management, you might put it up on APIC, the American Production Inventory Control Society. Most magazines, networks, well-known organizations, certification bodies have job boards. You want to explore those and get it up on a specialty site. I don't recommend posting, and this is a comment that Dana made, I don't recommend posting something on LinkedIn as a paid job ad. My experience is that's a worthless strategy. Instead, I would post your compelling marketing statement in the discussion group of the groups you belong to on LinkedIn. First of all, it's free. And second of all, it's extremely targeted that only the people within that geography, knowledge base, skill set, functional area are going to see it. And because most people don't do an effective job of setting their privacy settings, they're going to get a daily or weekly email blast with your opportunity. And most of my clients, this is probably one of the most viable mechanisms they have for broadcasting their opportunity. You're going to want to use your employee networks, and I just touched on this in my last slide, on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You give them the compelling marketing statement and ask them to post that to the people they know. Now imagine this. The 10 that you gave it to, they show it to 10 they know, and those 10 pass it along to 10 they know. And those 10, before you know it, in 2 weeks, it's in the hands of 2,000 people. And all you've done is leverage those natural networks. And then you want to make sure you get it up on your company pages, your business pages on Facebook, your Twitter business account, your LinkedIn business account, your Google business page, so that people can see it and find it on the internet. That's broadcasting. Okay? That's your first strategy. I would recommend 2 weeks. If you haven't found the right candidate in 2 weeks, you might want to try to rewrite your compelling marketing statement. The reason you didn't pull them might be is that they were just not, it wasn't compelling enough. So you might have to do that two or three times. But after the second or third time, if you run a good, compelling marketing statement and no one's responding that you think is viable to hire, it might just be that the quality of talent you're looking for isn't going to come through that channel. So then the next piece to this is you want to start creating these talent pools over time of candidates. As I said, engineers, production managers, consultants, human resource professionals, whatever the job is, and share content about careers in your company, company events, specific things that you think they might find valuable. You want to drip nurture to those talent pools content over time. You want to belong to discussion groups on LinkedIn that are appropriate for the kind of people you'd like to be recruiting. LinkedIn allows you to belong to 50 groups at once. You can put your opportunity in front of thousands, if not millions, of eyeballs just by starting to join those groups. Publish your blog posting, publish a little snippet, put up a link that you think people might find interesting. And then there's a whole variety of other tools like Google+, Twitter, Facebook that you can publish to. One of the other effective tools is to, once you start collecting people in your Excel spreadsheet or your applicant tracking system, is you can send out an email blast to those segmented candidate or talent pools. And I have a lot of success over time in those folks, if they're not interested, they refer it on to people they know. Okay. So that's publishing out to the talent pools. We can also begin to target specific candidates for our search. And the way I do this, I help clients set up this structure, is we want to target who are our competitors. Where is this person currently sitting that we want to hire? What kind of companies would they be in? Then we want to go on to LinkedIn and search on those competitor names, specifically for people that are doing the kind of work we want them to do. Human resources, engineering, operations, manufacturing, distribution, sales. We want to set up a series of messages we're going to send to those people through LinkedIn, through direct email, through making phone calls. My experience is that when you start to target specific people who aren't aggressively looking for a job, that they're passive candidates, you've got to hit them with 7 to 8 messages before they're going to engage and raise their hand. This, you all remember the classic marketing approach? 7 to 8 different messages through different medium to get people to engage. It's no different in recruiting. Just because you sent them one message on LinkedIn and they didn't respond doesn't mean they're not a great candidate and they're not going to respond. You just got to come at them through some different techniques. And then when people do respond but they're not interested, they're overqualified, they're underqualified, the geography's not right, they own equity, they can't leave their current firm, you always want to make sure you're asking them for referrals. If I look back over my career in executive search, 25 years, over 1,000 assignments, probably 250,000 candidates between Brad and I that we've met, I would tell you that in 95% or more, the candidate who actually got the job was a second to third level referral. It was never the first person contacted. So asking for referrals of people's networks and social media is a great technique or tool. All right, so we talk about this social recruiting circle of life. I kind of come back to this. Step one, you're broadcasting your job using advertising. You're broadcasting it through your applicant tracking system or Excel spreadsheet to these talent pools. You're publishing content on a continuous basis to stay in the forefront of people's minds, to engage them, to keep them interested in your company. You're targeting specific candidates. Who are the very best that we want to go after? Where are they working? In what companies? Now, LinkedIn is probably the best tool to use for this. I do believe that at some point, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, will become effective tools for recruiting. But right now, the kind of data they collect and how they store that data is at such a worthless stage that they are not particularly effective tools. You do want to build a presence. You do want to get a page up. And you want to be able to claim that real estate. But LinkedIn probably is right now your most viable mechanism to target specific candidates, both through advanced searching, in groups, engaging with those folks, sending connection invites, and starting to ask people if they'd be willing to talk to you. I'll give you a good example of this. For years, I used to hire junior recruiters, and they weren't so junior. I used to pay them $100 an hour to cold call managers and executives to try to extract people from companies. $100 an hour. That was 3 years ago. At that time, LinkedIn had like 2 million people on their system. Today, I think it's over 180 million, and it's growing rapidly. I haven't had to pay a recruiter to do search in 3 years. Within 48 to 72 hours, I can probably identify on LinkedIn 80% of the target candidate pool that I'd like to fill the job with. The response rate of making cold calls to people is at best 50%, and it's extremely painful work. On LinkedIn, if you craft a good, compelling message, 80% or more of the people will respond to you and raise their hand if they're interested in talking with you. You know, when I say things as simple as, "Hi, Bob, I came across your background on LinkedIn. I'm working on a search. We're trying to fill a job for X. Would you be willing to spend a few minutes with me chatting about this on the phone?" And as I said, 80% of the people you send the message to, they're going to respond yes. It's just amazing to me. I think that number will decline over time, but right now, folks are open to it. Now, here's the key. Here's the caveat I got to give you. When you do that, the very first thing they're going to check out is you personally, your profile, and then they're going to check out your company profile. And both of those have got to be extremely compelling, or people will just tend to ignore the message or mark it as spam. So you want to work on your own personal profile to make sure it's extremely compelling, it's of high value, and someone looks at it and says, "This is someone I got to know. This is someone I want to be connected to." And then you want to make sure your company page is well filled out.
And Barry, you have programs where you can actually, where you work with organizations to craft the image so it looks appropriate on LinkedIn or wherever it is on the page. Is that right?
That's correct. How do you set these up? How do you go through this process? But there's lots of examples, illustrations, case studies. As I said, Brad and I have thousands of hours on our website of how to do these things. I'm just kind of giving you in this 45-minute call, which we're almost at the end of, and I have this slide and one more to go through, kind of a framework for doing these things. But I will tell you that it is one phenomenal tool, and it is increasing in relevance as a viable mechanism to get to top talent. Okay. Now, here's the problem on using social media to recruit. Using social media requires an active presence. Putting updates onto your LinkedIn profile under the status update piece, participating in LinkedIn discussion groups, answering people's questions, posing questions, participating in the LinkedIn Q&A, putting stuff on your Facebook page, tweeting, writing a blog. It's useless, absolutely useless to just have a social media account and leave it out there under the mentality of, if we build it, they will come. The whole concept of social media is active engagement, communication with the networks you're building. You can almost think of it as a Venn diagram. One piece is you're active in social media. You're building your network on each of those major accounts or sites. Number two, you're publishing content to the people you're engaging with. And then number three, you're entering into real live conversations with people through your content publishing and the questions and issues they raise. And it's that centerpiece where all of those overlap that you find top talent. And it's not enough for just you to be involved. You want to get all your employees to be involved in this, or all your management member, team members. That's where the real leverage comes. It's not just your network that's important. It's the eight other people on your management team. It's the nine other supervisors in your company. It's turning your entire business into a recruiting machine to bring great talent forward. And it's only been within the last couple of years that the tools of social media sites and some of these tracking tools and little programs have popped up that enable you to leverage your entire workforce as a recruiting machine. And then finally, you want to publish stories on your blog, on your website. You want to post stuff, put video up that talk about your employee successes, the things they've done, the impacts they have. The whole concept of social media is storytelling. You want potential employees in the future to learn about those stories that your employees are getting and why they're happy and why they're turned on. And you want those potential employees, those candidates, to say, I'd like to own that story. I'd like that story to be mine. So finally, we really want to turn social recruiting into a process. We don't want to have to do this differently every time we go out to do it. So step one is developing a success factor snapshot. I believe at some point in the past, Dana, we've done a program online about that, how to define success.
That's right.
You want to create a compelling marketing statement. We talked about this in that program. You want to broadcast your job widely so that anybody who's actively looking is going to see it. And that means putting it on LinkedIn groups, discussion forums, getting it out into different networks, job networks. For example, if you're recruiting a marketing professional, you probably want to make sure you've got this in the Marketing Executive Networking Group, which is called MEG, that has its own presence on the web. They have a website. They have monthly chapter meetings in every city in this country. Publish and pushing content through blogging, tweeting, putting stuff on your Facebook page. Targeting specific candidates, if none of those things work, to go after specific people that are doing this work in competitor or tangential related companies. Then you got to start to nurture those relationships because they're not ready to jump. You may get lucky, but the reality is they got a good job. They like what they're doing. It may be 6 months, a year, year and a half before you get them, but we want to nurture those relationships so that when we're ready to hire them, all we got to do is reach out into that small subset of people. We want to focus on getting referrals, getting them to be our feet on the street, the people you connect to in Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, through email, that will bring people to you. And then finally, by doing all of these different pieces, great candidates pop out the bottom of that funnel. You no longer are just waiting and hoping and crossing your fingers that good people will land in your lap. You're actually managing a process to drive candidates to you, and it's almost a continuous cycle. Almost if you think of a sales approach where you're building a sales funnel, you're putting lots of candidates into the top of that funnel and moving them step by step, gate by gate through the process until the very best come out the bottom. Dana, how would you like to take it from here?
Why don't you go to the last slide. Also, if any of you that are attending today would like to get the other program we did with Barry, which will cover some of those areas that Barry just discussed, just email me and I'll send you the program at no charge. And we have a list on our website of all the programs we've ever done. That was phenomenal. Barry, thank you.
There's a lot, you know, Dana, there's a lot to this. And I think the real key is, as companies starting to put their toe in the water around it, is there's some basic infrastructure things you got to set up before you just start winging it and going out trying to talk to people online, like getting your applicant tracking system in place, even if it's just using an Excel spreadsheet, putting up a company page, making sure you got an applicant section to your website, building a presence on each of these major social media networks, and then starting to be active and communicate and engage. And that's where getting all your employees involved in it really leverage your ability versus just one person doing it.
So there's baby steps, putting into compartmentalizing it so it's not so overwhelming, it moving forward step by step.
Right.
Okay. In just a few minutes after we conclude this show and turn off the recording equipment, we're going to open up the line so you'll have an opportunity to talk directly with Barry. You'll see on your screen an area to register for our upcoming July 24th open line program, which is entitled Listening is More Powerful Than Speaking, Turning Your Ears into Powerful Tools to Impact the Actions of Others. Please sign up today and reserve a space for yourself and let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint of today's program. Please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. Barry, I want to thank you so much for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. Again, I want you to hold the line just as I wrap this up because we're going to open up the line in just a minute. We've had people in the past say they didn't want their questions or their voice on a recording. That's why we do this. If you'd like to contact Barry for further discussions on specifics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-to-one time together, or to discuss any of the ideas shared today, you'll see Barry's contact information on your screen. And also go to Barry's site because there's lots of valuable tools available to you. The information shared today is the property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, please let us know. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track open line program. Have a great day. Hold the line. Let me just disconnect the equipment. We'll be right back in about 10 seconds.